Many know that it's when God doesn't have your finances, there's too many loopholes in your life. But you know that's the character of when you know that one truly is given, surrendered, when we release of our finances to God. When that happens, listen, that's a step, a leap of faith tonight. Amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, a sermon entitled Blindness. 2 Corinthians 4, it's right after 1 Corinthians, right before Galatians. Chapter 4, verse 1. If you're there, say amen. If you're not there, just follow along. Amen. Glory to God. It says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling of the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man, to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds, listen to this, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ the Lord, and ourselves your bondservant for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you. Lord, let God, let our eyes be able to see the fullness of what you have for our lives. God, I pray against the God of this age, Satan himself, a liar and the father of lies. I pray that he be bound in the name of Jesus. I pray freedom, liberty, of God's people, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. See, there was once an explosion in a coal mine in West Virginia. As the rescuers dug through the debris, looking for the miners, after more than 24 hours, they located them. They slipped them some water as they continued to get them free. They finally got their lights on them and began to dig them out. One of the miners trapped said, why don't you turn on your lights? Remember, they had gotten their lights to them. But one of the miners said, why don't you turn on your lights? During the explosion, he had been blinded, and he was now blind, but didn't even know it. See how terrible tonight it is to be blind and not even realize it. There are many people today that are blind, and even though they can physically see, they are still blind because the God of this age has blinded their eyes. See, being blind, to the fact that they are in need of Jesus Christ as their Savior. There is, if that is you tonight, there is help for you tonight. In verse 4, it says, we are told that the God of this age has blinded people's minds. The God of this age is the devil. Satan himself, he tonight is poking people's eyes out, even right now. People have their physical eyes within them, but yet, just like this man that was trapped, he didn't even know that he was blind, just like many of people do not realize that they are also blind. See, what are some of the things tonight that blind people tonight? Satan, firstly, he blinds people of the goodness of God. How many know if he can get you to turn against God, amen, then that he has worked what he wants to work, and the plan that he has put in place, amen, now begins, because you cannot see the goodness of God upon your life or anybody else's life. See, God tonight, amen, extends his mercy to each and every one of us. The Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3, it says that the mercies of God are renewed every single morning. What that means is if you ran out of mercy last night, amen, there's more mercy for you, because that's what God brings upon our lives, folks. He brings the goodness, the mercies of God are renewed every day. God is merciful in just the fact that he lets you and I, beloved, be here one more day. A person who is lost walks in God's mercy. A person who is saved walks in God's mercy. Amen. But the lost, beloved, don't even realize that it is God's grace and mercy that is still even upon their lives, even though they don't know it. You know, I would drive every single day, because I got obliterated drunk every day for 15 years. And I would be, amen, I would be driving, many of times I couldn't even tell you how I got from point A to B, to C, to D, or even back home. I would wake up in the morning and say, where am I? And I finally realized that I had made it home. Can I tell you, not once I couldn't even remember when I left, how I got there, anything. And not once did I ever get in any accident. Can I tell you, that's God's grace upon my life, because I was a sinner, amen, bound for the gates of hell. But yet God's protection still covered my life, even though I was not saved. See, many people tonight, they ignore God's mercy and they ignore God himself. Romans 1, 20 through 22, it says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, because futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing to be wise, they became fools. How many know that those are people that refuse to, amen, acknowledge God's presence, grace, and mercy upon their lives? They say things like, I got lucky. Amen? How many times did you say, I got lucky? I got away from that one. You know, one time I was there. I had just drunk a 32-ounce of King Cobra malt liquor. And I knew that I was not right, folks. Listen, I knew that I was not right. And we're getting out of Denny's. I get into my car. I didn't even realize that a cop was behind me. Listen, when I tell you the things that I did, I tell you what I did because this is God's grace and mercy upon my life. I didn't even realize the cop was behind me. The policeman was behind me. So as I got in, I tried to pull out, and I saw a car trying to pull out. I waited. He waited. I tried it again. He tried it again. By the time I knew it, woo, I'm out there doing the test and everything else. Can I tell you? I don't know how I made it, folks. But I got lucky, right? Because that's what we say. Let me cross my... Oh, you got lucky, right? Folks, listen, many of times... Listen, I count my blessings every single day because I know what I did. And I know what I was doing, and I know all the things, and I know for a fact that if it was up to me, I would not be here today. I know it. But God's purpose for my life, listen, God's purpose for my life, when I say I'm all out for God because I was all out for, the God of this age. And because I was all out for the God of this age in the same manner when Jesus touched my life, I'm all out for God. See, there are many organizations across the U.S. that their main goal are to disrupt the churches. One of those organizations, threatened... A school because they had a sign that said, God bless America. How many know, that is almost one of the, slogans of this great nation, God bless America. But yet because somebody did not adhere to God bless America sign, they began and they brought forth a protest, and that sign had to be brought down. See, they think, in their own minds that they are doing justice, but are only ignorant that God also sustains their lives also. There are many people right now in the church who just like these organizations, they might not be doing those things, against the things of God, but they are ignoring God himself. God has from the founding, he has had, a great mercy. How many know, folks? Listen. You might have all these different thoughts about what America is, but America truly is a great nation. And God has had his mercy. But despite, a big number of people straying away from God, God has been with America, and has allowed America to be what America is today. But you know, one man said, Pastor Campbell said, if God doesn't punish America, he's going to have to forgive, Sodom and Gomorrah. Because America, listen, I wasn't born here, but I'm not heading anywhere. This is where my family lives. I served the U.S. military here. This is my life. But what I see is, because of the liberties, too many people take advantage of it and they disrupt what America is trying to accomplish. See, we have to be careful tonight not to overlook God's mercy upon our lives. Secondly, Satan has blinded men's spiritual condition. Satan leads men to believe that they are right because they are good. As long as I try to live a good life, the best life that I have, it's got to be an okay life. As long as I look good, it should be good enough. See, God tonight doesn't look at the outer appearance, amen, but he looks down in the man's heart. He doesn't look at our acting ability. How many know tonight that we can be good actors? Amen? Listen, folks. You might be having the worst thing. There's a hurricane brewing within your life. Somebody asks you, how are you doing? Oh, I'm good. And you're being tossed all over inside of your life. Everything is being, flown all around, but you're good, right? Because you want to portray yourself to think, I got things put together. I got things intact. Amen. Can I tell you, you're a good actor. See, God, he's not looking for acting abilities or our appearances or anything else. God is looking straight into our being, which is our heart. What is man's condition tonight before God? A man before God is a plain sinner. At his best, amen, he is at a man's best, he is but filthy rags. He lives under the same wrath of God. Whose sin is an abomination to the things of God. See, Satan tonight, secondly, blinds the truth of God's word. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling of the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, come in ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. Amen. See, what the devil tonight tries to do is he tries to block the light of the gospel shining down upon our lives. He blocks the light with darkness, with the darkness of three things: humanism, relativism, and hedonism. Humanism is a philosophy and ethical stance focused on human potential, rejecting supernatural explanations, aiming to build a better world through human effort, compassion, and critical thinking for personal fulfillment and the common good. Humanists do not believe God as their beliefs are rooted in naturalism, reason, and science rather than a divine authority. Relativism is the view that truth, morality, and knowledge are not absolute or universal, but rather relative to individual, cultural, or situational context. It posts that no single point of view is uniquely privileged, meaning right and wrong, true or false. The meaning that right or wrong, true or false, depends on the framework of judgment. An example: what is true for you might not be true for me. That's relativism. Hedonism, amen. Is a philosophical doctrine and lifestyle that points to pleasure as the ultimate good. The highest aim and primary motivator in a person's life, emphasizing the maximization of pleasure and minimizing of pain. It originates from the Greek word hedon, H-E-D-O-N-E, which means pleasure. It is a belief that pleasure, happiness, is the most important element in a person's life. How many know, amen, that sometimes you might be both within a few seconds of life? You're happy, and then, you're sad. See, it is associated with self-indulgence, sensual pleasure. It is a person who prioritizes pleasure in their choices, aiming to create a life filled with enjoyment and free from suffering. Satan does not want you and I tonight to believe in the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is the good news, amen, to those who are lost. Can I tell you? Wherever the gospel touches, folks, people change. During the movie, The End of the Spear, I believe the gentleman was called Elliot. He goes into a indigenous Amazon people there in South America. And as they originally, amen, as he originally went in, he was killed by a spear, but his wife comes in. And as she came in, beloved, listen, these people got saved. Can I tell you, if the indigenous people of the Amazon can get saved, if the indigenous people, there in the boonies of Australia can get saved, beloved, anybody can get saved. Where the gospel touches, that's why the God of this age wants to be able to, come in, and he comes against. That's why you have people, that are humanists, relativism, and hedonism, they come in. And if he has these things, listen, it takes the aim from God and puts it upon themselves. See, Satan does not want you and I to believe the gospel. Because the gospel is the good news to people who are lost. It brings hope. Because the power, because the gospel, the word of God says in Romans 1:16, it is the power of God unto salvation. See, anytime you bring the gospel message, folks, anytime somebody gets saved, you want to know what it does to the devil? It reminds him of his defeat. Amen? It reminds him that he is defeated. See, it's not his defeat, but defeat it. He's already defeated. But you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to lure you and I into his defeat, which he's already in. The gospel will turn a servant of Satan into God's worker. Look at the Philippian jailer. He was there. Paul prays with him. Not only did he get saved, but all of his household, they got saved. See, Satan, will blind a man to the shortness of life and to the certainty of judgment. Isn't that what he did with Eve? Did God really say that? Why did God say those things? The reason why God doesn't want you to truly know the whole truth is because once you know it, you're going to be able to see just like he sees, right? God's word tonight is certain. It does not change. God's word tonight is inerrant, infallible. It is errorless. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed upon man once to die, but after that, the judgment. James 4:14, the word of God says that life is but a vapor. Proverbs 27, verse 1, it says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. There is no promise for tomorrow. The worst thing or the saddest thing that somebody tells me is, I'm not ready for that today. Can I tell you the same thing they told me yesterday, they'll tell me tomorrow. I'm not ready for today. And they find themselves saying that, and tomorrow never really truly comes because they say, I'm not ready for that today, but I'll do it tomorrow. One day I'll do it. But the word of God says that there is no promise, beloved, for tomorrow. There is a judgment coming, and hell, amen, tonight is excited and awaits your coming. Can I tell you? I don't know about you, but this guy here is not going to make hell excited about him coming. Neither should you. We're almost done, folks. Revelation 20. We're going to read 11 through 15, amen. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Can I tell you? Can I be honest with you? Can we be sincere tonight? Everything that you and I do is being written down right now. Every thought, God says, wait a minute. Everything is being written down. What is God writing down about you and I tonight? Can I tell you that's scary? It's scary, folks. Because you and I are not going to be judged. Listen, you and I are not going to be judged by what we didn't do. It's by what we did do. Has Satan blinded you tonight? Tonight, the Holy Spirit wants to remove those blinders from your eyes. Are you able to see that there is hope in your life? In Christ? Has God shined the light of truth in your heart. If you are blinded tonight, do not continue to go through being blind anymore. If you do, you will continue walking blindly straight into hell. Pastor, that's hard. Can I tell you? That's how serious heaven and hell really, truly are. It's not a game, folks. It's not something that we can just take so leisurely. Well, let me just see how it is. No, folks. When we are walking blindly, we are walking blindly straight into the pit of hell. To be separated from God forever. Pastor, would God do that? You read Revelations again. You want me to read it for you again, or you want to read it yourself? You read it. You want to know why you don't read it? Because you don't want to believe it. God truly does. He loves you and I so much that he doesn't want you and I to perish tonight. See, tonight, you don't have to walk blindly. God can break down the veil that shutters your eyes and allow you to see in one way, and that is clearly. Can I tell you, when I had my surgery, this eye was able to see clearly. This eye was able to see fuzzy. Can I tell you, that's the way we see sometimes? We don't see clearly the way that we should be seeing. Can I tell you tonight? You can see as God shutters those blinds and removes them. And now you're able to see the goodness of what God truly does have for you and I. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. You're here in this place. You want to surrender your life to Jesus. You're here in this place and you want to give your heart to the Lord. I'm not going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to put you on blast. We're not going to put you on live stream. We're not going to take your picture. All we simply want to do is pray for you tonight. Can we pray for you? Can we believe God for you? Anybody here, you're here in this place and you're not saved. You're here in this place, you're backslidden. You're not right with God. But you want to give your life to Jesus tonight. You want to give your life to Christ. God is waiting for you. You've never accepted Jesus, or maybe you are backslidden tonight. Will you come tonight? Anybody here? Just raise up your hand. I want to pray for you tonight. Amen. Folks, sometimes we can allow the things of this world to affect our lives in the way we see. We want to be, listen, nobody wants to be rejected. We want to be accepted. You want to think you can fit in. We have to be careful on what we do. Because if we're not careful, We never know when that vapor is going to rise up and we no longer will be here. We no longer will find ourselves here on earth, but we'll find ourselves standing before God. And what words is the Lord going to say to you and I? Enter in, my good and faithful servant, or who are you? I don't know you. The goodness of God, the mercies of God are given to you and I. The grace of God is poured out for you and I so that you and I can see who God really is, folks. Don't live in the pleasures. Don't live for all the things that you can get here and now, because one day, all these things are going to pass away. But where are you going to spend eternity, folks? That's a question I asked a young man today, when I was witnessing to him. Where are you going to spend eternity? And all that he can reply with is, sir, that's a good question because I don't know. Heaven is real. But hell is also real. And hell was not made for you and I. Heaven rejoices as we come to God. Let's make heaven tonight rejoice over our lives. The altar is open. Amen. Come, lay hold of God. Come, lay hold of God tonight. Let Jesus touch your life tonight. Let him help you. Maybe you're battling through certain things in your life. Maybe there's situations in your life tonight that you are struggling with. Maybe there are things that you are not able to see clearly. Has the God of this age began to blind you of all that God has for your life? Let the presence of God shine within your life. Let the word of God come in, amen, into your life. Let the goodness of God show you exactly, amen, what God has and desires for your life.